bothers me when I see all you mamas and daddies grinning when they leave. Woo! Just think it's going to be when it's just you and daddy at home, amen. Couldn't understand my sister. She had a baby, and then she married a man who had five children. The wife had left him. And I couldn't understand why he said, "Boy, I can't wait. We'll just be empty nesters." I just couldn't understand that. All right, take your Bible to... You want an answer for that? I have no answer. I had too much fun with my kids. I just talked to a guy this morning. He said another one of his daughters is getting married, and they've got two sons. And I said, "Boy, won't be long, and those two boys, they'll have the, what do you call that when you're in the office? The government, when you have the minority." I said, "That'd be pretty good when your boys will have the minority." He says, "I'm not waiting that long. It'd take that one guy 30 years to get out of here." So anyway, oh boy. Take your Bible, Psalm 119. I'm glad you're here tonight. Psalm 119. I like what do you see the name of this portion of Scripture, verse 113? Sandwich. That's what you eat. A sandwich is somebody who drives a powered broom over the desert. That's a sandwich. This is a sandwich. It's something to eat, amen. I finally found it the other day. I giggled to myself. I guess it was more funny to me than it was to you. But anyway, let's stand and read the Word of God. All right. Thank you for coming tonight. What a blessing. No doubt the psalmist found that keeping God's word gave him momentum. And so that when the steep places came, they were already more than half conquered. He never lost sight of the end of the journey. And boy, may we learn that about our life. May we learn that the word of God gets us over the hump. May the word of God remind us, as we know the word of God, that troubles have come, sorrows come, heartaches come, problems come, death come, but we know that we have a promise from God that we are already on top of the hill heading down. I used to ride my bicycle a lot before I got my motorcycle. My bicycle is very mad at my motorcycle. It looks at that motorcycle and says, "It's not fair. You used to love me more than you loved that bike, and I was your first love." And I say, "Shut up, startup Harley. Let's get out of here." Yeah. So anyway, but when I used to ride my bicycle, I used to take it to camp. I used to take every place I went. I'd take the front wheel off, and you just put that Trek bike inside my car and just go any place with it. And we're up in Canada and up by Carstairs. And I was preaching for Brother Duke, Brother Price, and those guys. And so every morning before breakfast, I'd jump on that thing and I'd ride it. Well, they had some huge hills there. And sometimes, I'll tell you what, I wished I had a parachute when I was coming down off that thing. I thought one time, I'm gonna eat it. But I'd probably lose about 40 pounds. Gravel dig me all up, amen. Leave my hide back there, amen. But once you get to the top, you know, I used to tell my boys, "If you ain't scared, you ain't having any fun." I was really scared a couple of those times, but I was really having a good time. But once you get on the top, you start going down and you know, hey, I've got it made. And would to God that you understand that in the Word of God in your own heart that, hey, you know what, you've already got it half beat. Think if you did not have the Lord Jesus Christ in your troubles and sorrows. By the way, pray for Bethany. God bless you. Are you doing better? You know, she had some denture work done, and she is a sore girl. Pray, pray, pray for her. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold me up. Hold thou me up. And I shall be safe. I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. Father, I pray tonight you'd speak to our hearts as we look into this Word of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we're at the top. But boy, there's a lot of dangers going down, so Lord God, help us. Help us to continue to serve you and continue to give ourselves to prayer and reading the Scriptures, that we may understand that you have not left us without hope. Thank you, Lord God, that we sorrow not as others who have no hope. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Yes, last night I preached at the conference and I preached about joy of salvation. I got real tickled about it. I did. I just had me a good old time. Didn't even realize anybody was out there. I was just talking to me and God. Amen. Just having a good time. It is a wonderful thing to know that you're saved. There is no joy in this world that you can have that can match that joy that you know for sure. If you die today, you go to heaven. The most miserable person in this world is not the unsaved. The most miserable person in this world is a Christian out of fellowship with Jesus Christ. Say the most miserable because you know who you are and you know the holiness of God. And so may I encourage you tonight that you would live holy in an unholy word. I encourage you that hopefully, did we get that tape last Sunday morning? I preached on that. Well, I hope you'll get that and you'll listen to it. Listen. Live in a holy and unholy world. There's a lot of junk going on in all this world. And there's a lot of people trying to draw you away and try to get you to their point. Because if they get you to their point, then you don't convict them. You understand that? Psalm 119, we start off with a sentence. In this segment of his song, the psalmist is preoccupied with the evildoers of his day. Are you preoccupied with the evildoers of the day? Unfortunately, I find myself very preoccupied with seeing what's happening in our world and seeing our so-called government so unscrupulous, so unholy, so just cheats. And I know there's men out there that are not like that, but boy, I'll tell you what, it's kind of like the deal when I moved to Great Falls and people were talking about the Jetters. And finally, I had enough of it. I said, let me tell you something. The finest people that I know come off that base, Air Force Base. There's just a few, but the trouble is they all got uniforms on. And because they got a uniform on, you know, they're all bad. You're nuts. They're not all bad. They're giving themselves, their life to our country. And I get real fired up. So don't come to me about that. I'm going to be in your face. Amen. He talks to them about God. The psalmist talked to them about God, and he talks to God about them. And throughout, he declares, as always, his adherence to the Word of God. And he noticed, first of all, I hate vain thoughts, but I love, but thy law do I love. The word vain thoughts could be rendered divided thoughts. It could be rendered that, divided. The idea is double-minded. With the constant pressure on him from his foes, the psalmist assessed his tendency is vacillating. There's a battle within him. And he sees this seesaw thought as his basic fidelity to the Word of God. He said, I see this, and I see the Word of God, and I see this, and I see the Word of God. I have a hard time to controlling my thoughts. Anybody have a hard time controlling their thoughts? Yeah, everybody raises their hand. All of us do have trouble controlling our thoughts. We all experience moments when doubt assails. There's not a person in here that doesn't have some doubt once in a while. And when compromise looks attractive, well, I did do it once. You know, it can't hurt just once. The root word for vain or divided thoughts is very significant because it's found many times in the Old Testament. Elijah, as he summoned the people at Mount Carmel to confront them once for all, who, with the folly of their idolatry, the concluding evidence that the Lord God Jehovah was indeed the true God and living God. Is he God or is he not God? Boy, that's a tremendous portion of Scripture. The people had been awed and dazzled by Jezebel and her forceful personality, her erotic ways and her false gods. They're amazed about all that they were doing. Ahab, her husband, was useless as a shepherd to the people of God. And Elijah looked at the assembly multitudes, tossed this way and that way between one path and the heathen practice produced by Jezebel. Or may I say introduced by Jezebel. Then he formulated his memorable challenge, 1 Kings 18:21. And if I was you, I would mark that in the back of your Bible. Because this is going to hit you between the ears all the time. How long halt ye between two opinions? Elijah demanded that. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. Just make up your mind. Don't be wishy-washy. Say, I'm for Baal or I'm for God. Get it off. Get it over with. Amen. The word Elijah used for halt literally means to leap. That is what is double-minded, vacillating person does. They leap first this way and they leap that way. And the psalmist hated it, especially when he saw it in himself. I just get tired of saying, thinking one thing and I think another and I'm getting sick and tired. You ever get sick and tired of yourself? Don't you get tired of it? It's either one way or the other. I like going out with somebody and saying, hey, where do you want to eat? No, you ask me. You want to go out to eat? Yeah. And then he says, I got a guy that all the time. Drives me crazy. And so now what I do is, he says, you want to go to eat? I said, yeah. You want to go here? And he'll say, no, I don't like there. I said, well, how about there? I don't like, and I know the places he doesn't like, so I always say those places. I said, you want to go over here? No, I don't want to go. You know I don't like there. I said, then, okay. What do you want to go to eat? I don't know. And so I know one he really likes. And I said, how about we go there? Yeah, that's a good idea. And I want to say, why did you ask me to go out to eat? Who am I? Zimmerman to tell you where to eat at, you know? Or who's the guy in the diver, drives and dines, whatever that guy's name is, you know?
Guy Fieri.
Huh?
Guy Fieri.
Yeah, whoever. I like people to say, my wife and I, when I'd invite her out, when I'd say, honey, I'm going to pick you up at 6 o'clock at Shields, let's go here. I would never say, where would you like to eat? Because you know what she said? She said, well, you ask me. How many have ever met anybody like that? How many are like that? I'm hungry. Let's go out to eat. Where do you want to eat? I don't know. I just want to go out to eat. It's okay. You're just leaping around. You're the vacillating person. Amen. The psalmist hated it, especially when he saw it in himself. Are you for God or not for God? Are you for the standards of the Word of God or not for the standards of the Word of God? Do you believe the Word of God is true or not? Make up your mind. Just make up your mind. I believe this is what God said, and this is where I'm going in it. Even when you come home to your mother or your father or your brother, your sister, your cousins or whatever, and brother, I know what that's all about. You say, I'll be in church tonight. But it's Easter. But God died on a cross to save us from our sins. Don't you think that I could just show up for Sunday night? But all the family's here. We never get to see you. Come to church. You can spend an hour with me. I'm not going to vacillate on that. My mother died. Somehow, they put her viewing on Sunday night. My mother was turning over in her coffin. My mother never missed church. And this is what they hit me about 4:30 Sunday afternoon. I just preached at the Hope Baptist Church that Sunday morning, and they said, well, we're all going to the funeral home at 6 o'clock. And I said, I'll see you when I get there. And one of my sisters said, what? I says, I'm going to church. She says, can't you just one time? And I says, what do you think people think of me at my church? Well, I preach and 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 preach about faithfulness. I preach that not forsaking the assembling of ourselves in a manner some is, but exhorting one another, some of it. You've heard it a million times here. What do you think I'd be? I'll tell you what I'd be. I've been one of these leapers. I said, no, hon, I love you, and you know how much I love my mama. But I love my mama's memory, and I'm going to church. Oh, ho, ho. Got pretty quiet in the old Shear farmhouse. Guess what happened? I took all the grandkids to church with me. My sisters went to the funeral. Someone said to me, but Sheldon, there's some people who never get to see you. I said, they can wait. Tell them I'm coming. I know that preacher just preaches an hour. I'm coming. After the service, and by the way, my pastor, that pastor at Hope Baptist Church had a sermon just for me. It was just for me. I lost my mom. She's about 67 years old. She's a young lady. I needed that. Hey, when your funeral comes, don't stay home, you 23. Be in church. That godly pastor has studied and dug deep to find you some gold. You be there. You listen to his preaching. The guy said, I'm tired of vacillating. He made up his mind that he was going to make one final leap and land both feet squarely on the Word of God. The Scripture would be the law of his life. Listen to me. Is the Word of God law of your life? I heard a bunch of preachers this Monday and Tuesday, and I'm hearing some things that's going on in America I don't like. The one thing is that church members are becoming passive. They sit there, listen to it, agree with it, and walk out and don't do what the Bible says. Don't you dare be passive about the Word of God. Thus saith the Lord God. They say, well, that's the information. I don't care what it is. Thus saith the Word of God. I am going to stand on the Bible. If you don't want to stand on the Bible, I guarantee you there's plenty of churches in town that don't stand on the Word of God. You can come and hear their little ditty. They give the preacher 10 minutes to preach, and they got the rock and roll and country western for about an hour and a half, and then they turn him loose about 10 minutes, and then they pull his cord and say, hey, we got to go home. They get him wild up like a bunch of crazy people. I'm going to tell you, you come to this church, you're going to get the Word of God. And if you don't like it, there's plenty of restaurants in town. Do you believe the Bible? Is this God's holy word? I heard one man say, well, you can't confront the people anymore. Well, then the Bible is wrong then. Because the Bible says, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. If you're wrong, you should be rebuked. If you're going down the wrong trail, somebody needs to yank your chain and get you back on the right trail. What's wrong with this? Is this just a club, a feel-good deal? No, or are we supposed to live for a holy God? And God has placed a pastor to guide you and to be the overseer, the overlooker, making sure that everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing? Is that what the Bible says? Yes! He's the presbyteros. That's a great name. Hey, presbyteros. He's the presiding elder. He is the man that says, hey, this is where we're headed. Come on, let's go. I'm the coach. You know, Final Four on this week, or they're over?
Still going.
Is Duke still in it? Okay. What's the coach's name of Duke? He's so smart. He's brilliant. But I hope Kentucky beats him. But anyway, sorry if you're a Duke fan. I'm not for the Blue Devils, I'll tell you what, brother. I'm just against anything that's dead, anything devil. But anyway, what do you think? They're in the Final Four. In the center says to the forward, I'm not doing what the coach says. I'm going to play it my way. There's a lieutenant. I don't care how green and yellow bar he is. There's a lieutenant says, I want you to do this. And a sergeant says, we're not going to do it that way. Not a good idea. If it's legal and what he's telling you to do is okay, you better do it. I can understand you if it's something against your morals or something like that. I can understand it. But boy, you better be clicking your heels and double time and do whatever he tells you to do. Because that's your job. You raise your hand to do that. Yes? No? You're driving down the road. Here comes a couple of police cars, and you just stay in your lane. The other day, I was going up to UPS. I was just minding my own business. All of a sudden, I look up and hear two sheriff cars coming, just screaming. And I mean to tell them, I took the ditch. They're just turning in there. I was, what in the world going on? I thought they were going to pull over this car, but they weren't going to pull over. They're going to something. Well, I'll run it my way. I don't like them driving like that. Wrong answer. If they get your number, they're going to come see you. And you're going to pay a healthy fine for not pulling over for a police officer. We are finding today that the group of people who quote-unquote are passes, and they say, That doesn't concern me. Got a group of people said, you know what, I can do anything I want to do. I can be a member of that church, but I don't care what the Constitution says. I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what that hot-headed preacher says. Bless God, I'll do what I want to do. I'll get up and leave. No, I'm teasing. Couldn't take it, could you? But anyway, the Scripture, he says, is what I'm going to live by. It's about time you do the same thing. Did you even know that? That older guy went out and that new baby came in. How about that, brother? The Scripture would be the law of his life. The Scripture would be the arbitrator of his conscience. The Word of God would be the ruler of his will. The Word of God would be the love of his heart and the food of his thoughts. What your heart is full of is what comes out of your mouth. I was talking to some of the pastors and they had heard I got tased and I told them, and I told it last night, you know, everybody came to watch me get tased. Sheriff, undersheriff, captains, lieutenants, all the detectives, everybody's in the house were there, and all the secretaries, all the clerks, even some guys on the correction side. Later, I found out why they came. They said, "We want to hear what that preacher says when he gets hit with that." I have never felt anything so hurt in my life and lasted so long for 5 seconds. I'm telling you, that is the worst thing that you have. How many have ever been tased? God bless you, gentlemen. Yeah, some of you got tased because it wasn't because you wanted it. You wouldn't behave yourself. But anyway, when that thing hit me, I cried out, and I have a video of it. You like to see it. I won't show it to the girls because I showed it to one of my daughter-in-laws, and she cried, "Oh, that's so terrible what they did to you." I said, "Are you kidding me?" Last night I said it. A little boy said, "Yeah, I want to see it." And when that thing hit me, I said, "Oh, Jesus, God help me." Bam, I fell on my face. Amen. I erased everybody else's. I took a picture of 13 that got it that day. Every one of them used God's name in vain. Filthy, 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 filthy. I said, "Yep, that's what their heart's full of." And the sheriff says, "Boy, chaplain, I wonder what you were going to say. You did good." Do you know what this man says? He says, "I hate and I love. I hate the things of the world and I love the things of God. I love the Word of God. The law of opposites. Every negative has a positive. Night is offset by day. Extreme is balanced out by neutral." Once God is given a balancing role in our lives, instead of leaping this way and that way and this way and that way, we become stable, steadfast, unmovable. This is where I am going to stand. Thus saith the Lord God. When I first started preaching, I used to say, "And this is what I believe." My father-in-law, God bless him, he was my pastor, and I was his assistant, and after he put up for a little couple, he gave up putting it around me. He said, "Boy, Sheldon," and he said something really nice to me, and I thought, "Oh boy, it's coming. It's coming." You know, some guys, you know, they just come up, they know how to do it instead of right in your face. This is it. You know, my father-in-law says, "Boy, this, you know, you're," he said, "but," I thought, "Oh boy." But when I was in college, English, it negates everything that has been said before. Is that correct? "But." So when you come up to me and tell me, "Pastor, I like to do this," and I said, then you say, "But," just negated everything I'm about to tell you. But anyway, he says, the people, really don't care what you think. They want to know what saith the Lord God. And I've tried real hard to protect that. This is what God's Word said. Because it really doesn't matter what I say. If the Bible says it, we hook on, we chain up, and we hang on to that forever. John Bunyan illustrated in Pilgrim's Progress by introducing Mr. Pliable into the story. A poor wisp of a man with no mind of his own. Mr. Pliable. If you haven't read Pilgrim's Progress, you ought to. "Thou art my binding, my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word." We all needing hiding places when dangers threaten us. Dangers come to us. Like I preached Sunday morning, there's going to come the storm of your life. Jill Sprunger tonight is meeting the storm of her life. Liz met the storm of her life. Some of you are going to meet the storm of life. Some of you are going to be young when you meet that storm in life. And I'll be honest with you, it'll help you in preparing the rest of your life. But you're going to meet that storm. And you better have the Word of God around you and in your heart so that when something happens, you don't go off cursing and swearing and cussing at God. You say, my hope is in God, and I shall not be moved. He is the rock of my salvation. I will stand though the storms come, though the bark be ripped off the ship that I'm riding on, though the main sail is blown away, I know that my God will never leave me nor forsake me. And He will not let anything come into my life I cannot withstand or provide a way of an escape. I'll be honest with you, He brings it pretty close. So you can't stand it. But you stand up, you're rare up, and that's when you're the weakest. After you get through that, you're the weakest because then Satan says, yeah, I'll get him now. He's got his guard down. You got to have your guard up. A hiding place just reminds us of a danger. Though real enough, it is not yet at hand. It can still be averted, perhaps. We find a hiding place. We duck down. The shield is needed when the hiding place no longer affords protection and we're going into battle. And that's when the storm of our life comes. And the danger has become immediate and present tense, present peril. The psalmist's first line of defense against his foes is God. His final line of defense against his foe is God. And you better have that taken care of before your storm comes. He said, I have no other defense. And by the way, nor does he need any other defense. His hope is not in his friends. Listen to me now. I want you to get this. Don't leave me. His hope is not in his friends. Are you listening to me? I'm preaching to you, hon. His hope is not in his friends. His hope is not in his family. His hope is not in his resources nor his resolution. I can get through this thing. Nor in the skill that he has with a sword and a spear. His hope is in God and God's Word. And since that cannot fail, his victory is assured. God cannot deny himself. He must honor his Word. He must be true to his character. So much is at stake in God's honoring his Word. The psalmist does not consider for a moment the possibility of anything else. I want you to get that tonight. Don't miss it. Stay with it. You know the trouble. Hey, you're going to have a lot of sorrows. You're going to have a lot of crying. I read your Facebook. I watch you. I listen to you. I may not push on, yeah, I like it or don't like it or whatever. But all of us are going to have trouble. All of us are going to have suffering. All of us are going to have problems. It just goes with living on planet Earth. So many people say, oh, Pastor Sherry, I feel so sorry for her. Sorry for what? Oh, the way your wife is. What do you mean the way my wife is? I promised her daddy and mom. I promised her brothers and sisters that I would keep her in sickness and in health till death do us part. And that ain't happened yet. You say, but I wouldn't trade your troubles for mine in a million years. There is no way. I don't want your junk. I couldn't handle your stuff. You're deeper than I ever am. So I'm just gonna rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Trouble will come, sorrow will come, we understand it, and it has to be, or we'd say, I just want to stay here, pitch my tent on earth permanently, instead of saying, glory to God, come quickly, Lord. I'm ready to go home. But you've got to have a grasp on this Word of God, and It bothers me as a pastor. I'm afraid for you that you have not got it. I don't want you to be passive about this Word of God. I want you to say, I need this Word of God. I cannot live without this Word of God. I cannot live without praying to my Heavenly Father. And if I can get you to that point, Heritage Baptist Church is going to be really good. But until I do that, there's going to be a lot of vacillating going on. And a lot of people are going to jump to conclusions. A lot of people are going to go with personalities and popularity instead of thus saith the Lord God Almighty. If you're following your pastor, and that's the only thing you're hanging on to, I'm going to tell you something, you're in trouble. I followed my mother. I followed my dad. I followed my pastor until I got to college, and all of a sudden, they weren't there. And the nights I laid in my bunk crying and homesick for home. Yeah, big old 19-year-old, 220-pound fullback. I was sobbing and weeping. I don't want to be there. I wanted to play football, but if I could just go play football, go home and eat mama's cooking and jump on that old John Deere, I'd been a happy boy. Finally, I had to find my God. And it took me a while. And it may take you a while. You may have to go through some things that finally God says, I'm going to show you, you need me. It'd be best if you just found it out quicker than He has to show you. Amen? Because it's going to happen. Because He loves you. If you are called of God, if you have, good night, look what time it is. If you're saved, you are His. And He will punish you. And He will remind you that He is it. It's best to take care of that and obey. Hey, some of you got kids at home that you're always whooping them. And you say, why don't you listen to me? I see a lot of smiles when I just said that. How do you think God feels? Father, help us to be men and women of the book. That we would garner out the Word of God, the Scriptures that would help us get through another day in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.